أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأنكحوا الأيامى منكم والصالحين من عبادكم وإمائكم إن يكونوا فقراء يغنهم الله من فضله والله واسع عليم. And marry those amongst you who are single, and your slave males and females who are able to manage the responsibilities of marriage, even if they were in poverty, Allah Ta'ala will grant them abundance out of His grace. And Allah Ta'ala is one who encompasses all things, and He is all-knowing. In the previous verses, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the four levels of hijab that a woman should be observing and people should be observing as well. The first level is if there is any indecent activity that is taking place, then how do we respond? Do we talk about it? Do we make some type of publicity? So, without any adequate evidence, we are not allowed to speak about any type of indecent activity, in particular zina. If a crime is something less than zina, then this can be reported to the officials, they may take the appropriate measures. So this is the first level, where we don't make a publicity of indecent activity. Number two is entering homes. Then we need to be careful that we observe all the etiquettes of entering homes, not force ourselves, go in without permission, and look where we are not supposed to be looking at. Number three is to lower the gazes. And number four, a woman, how should she be dressed when she's coming out of the house? And how should she be dressed within the house? So these are the four levels of parda and hijab that the Quran Sharif speaks about. The last is how should she be dressed when she is within the house, and how should she be dressed when she is out of the house. When out of the house, she needs to observe three things. One is وَلْيَدْرِبْنَ بِخُمُورِهِنَّ عَلَىٰ جُيُوبِهِنَّ. They should draw their veils over their bosoms. Veils, the word that has been used here is khumur. Khumur is the plural of khimar, which refers to the headgear, the oni or the scarf that we know. So that should be so long that it doesn't only cover the head, but it covers the face as well as the upper area of the chest of the woman, unlike the days of ignorance, where that area used to be revealing, the face is showing out, and some of the ornaments also are revealing and displayed to one and all. So these areas should be covered properly and correctly. Then the outer gear, that is the cloth, or the abaya or the jilbab, that is going to cover the entire body when she's leaving, should be of thick, coarse material and unattractive, not revealing any of the body shapes. So it mustn't be body hugging, it mustn't show out the figure of the body, nor should there be any type of attraction in this outer garment, outer gown that she's wearing. It must be totally unattractive, not attracting attention of men. So this is how she's supposed to be living. As far as covering her face and her hands, then on account of the abundance of fitna in this day, all the four imams are unanimous that it is compulsory for her to cover her face as well as her hands. But at the time of necessity and need, if she has to see, visit a doctor, etc., it becomes difficult for her, then she may uncover the face or the hands. It means just the palms. Though these are the centers of beauty of woman, face is the central point of beauty. She must be much more careful about the face. No man should say, I don't have any feelings. That, as I explained earlier on, that sometimes these feelings are dormant and sometimes they're active, and you do not know when these feelings can be activated and how a man can be behaving thereafter. Only Allah Ta'ala knows. So she should be covering her face at all times. Then the exception is these type of relatives, that is her parents and grandparents, etc., all above. It means her real parents, not her step-parents, but her real parents. Similarly, will be the case of her children and her grandchildren. She doesn't have to observe full parda in their presence. Then number three is the uncles and the aunts will refer to the parents' real brothers and sisters. So they also are exempt from the rules of parda. Then the spouses and their nephews and nieces, so their brothers or sisters' children, they don't have to observe that type of parda as well, provided they are the actual brothers and their brothers' actual children. And the fifth type is the in-laws, that is the parents' in-laws. They don't have to observe that level of parda that is required under normal circumstances. So this is within the home, and the law pertaining to outside the home has already been explained. The other two people that are exempt is those attendants that are mentally challenged, retarded, etc., who have no feelings towards women. Absolutely no feelings, no temptation. They don't even speak about these things. They don't know what these things are. They are like children. So they are so badly challenged mentally that they have lost the senses of feeling. Similar is the case of children that haven't reached up of age. لَمْ يَزْهَرُوا عَلَىٰ أَوْرَاتِ النِّسَىٰ. They don't have the sense about the concealed beauty of women. They have no understanding about these things here. But overall, the Quran Sharif says two additional things. لَا يَدْرِبْنَ بِأَرْجُلِهِنْ. When walking, they shouldn't strike their feet to draw attention to the hidden beauty. That is, when they're going to be striking their feet, then some of the hidden beauty is going to be revealed. The hidden beauty is like the anklets, and the tinkling of the anklets, that can also draw attention. So, just like the tinkling of their bracelets or the anklets, these are all places of beauty, all should be concealed. Even the sound, one should be very, very careful about, because this also attracts the attention of men. Woman is walking, and the striking of her feet, striking of her shoes, all these things attract the attention of women. These are all salient or subtle invitations towards zina and indecency. So the Quran Sharif has kept us in check with regards to these things as well. The ulama'i kiram explain that when just the tinkling of her ornaments can creates and arouse some feelings in us, then what about the actual voice of the woman? If just the tinkling and the ringing of her ornaments, striking of her feet, can cause some type of arousal in a man, then what about her actual voice? So all the more, her actual voice should be more concealed. Therefore, without any genuine reason, genuine need, she shouldn't be talking casually with men, especially in this age and time, when there is an overwhelming power or force of fitna. So she shouldn't be talking to men casually. Now, they have complicated things to such an extent that women are giving bayans, and they are giving bayans in public. In the public forum, her face is not covered, is wearing jeans, and then they are talking in the name of Islam. Really, it's an actual betrayal to Islam, total sellout of Islam. They're not giving the right impression of Islam, as though it's a kafira woman that is talking about Islam. So it is a total sellout, a total betrayal of Islam. وَلَا يَدْرِبْنَ بِأَرْجُلْهِنْ. Ulama have also said, so much of caution should be exercised that even a man shouldn't be teaching a woman the Quran Sharif, because her voice has got some type of attraction and it may cause some type of feelings in the man's heart. So as far as possible, a man shouldn't be teaching a woman Quran Sharif, etc., where she is expected to recite to him. Because this is also going to create some type of arousal, and we cannot rule out the time of fitna and the time of evil that we are living in. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Overall, O believers, turn to Allah Ta'ala in repentance that you may prosper. Sometimes something is done discreetly, unknowingly. Sometimes something has been done and forgotten. Sometimes there are memories of something that we have seen, some picture that we have seen and the mind has captured. It's stored there, and then we are aroused when we reminisce the past. So all these sins that are very discreet and concealed within the heart and the mind of past memories, etc., then turn to Allah Ta'ala in repentance, ask His sincere forgiveness, that Allah Ta'ala deletes these memories, and we do not fantasize and reminisce all these past pictures and the photos that we have. So these things should be destroyed, and these things should be deleted from the memories. And the real, actual way is to turn to Allah Ta'ala, acknowledge the mistake, that we've been keeping this and fantasizing and entertaining these type of thoughts. So Allah Ta'ala, do forgive us for these past that we have, unknowingly fallen into. And then Allah Ta'ala says, if you do so, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, then will you prosper. May Allah give us tawfiq.